Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossline. Thank you so much for being here. We like to say that this is a safe place to hear a life-changing message, and it's our prayer this morning that the Holy Spirit changes your life, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that you experience God and His Word speaks right to your life situation, equips you to step into the next step that you have in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We're in a series we're calling The Dream Team, God's Dream Team, Becoming Activated Servants. And we built this on this whole example of the Olympic Dream Team, the greatest assembly of athletes ever on any team. And we said that the church is God's dream team because God has chosen us and placed us on His team. We're all on Team Jesus if we believe in Christ. And we've been called to serve Him, to be activated in representing Jesus in the church and in the community. The very moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, what we call crossing the line, we hear the message that God loves us, but that we're separated Him from, because of our sin. But Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead, so He's the bridge to God. And we step across the line onto Christ's bridge, connecting us with God. That very moment, we become a part of the church, the body of Christ. We are a part of God's dream team as followers of Jesus. And last week and today, what we're talking about is part of that being connected to the body of Christ is we've received the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Christ who lives within us. And in receiving the Holy Spirit, we've also received spiritual gifts. Every member of God's dream team is gifted spiritually to play their position. So we have a position on the team, and that position is defined by the spiritual gifts that we have received. There are four major New Testament passages dealing with spiritual gifts. Last week, we looked at the first two passages, 1 Peter 4, and we looked at Romans 12. And we said that from 1 Peter 4, we understand that of all the gifts that God gives that are mentioned in the New Testament, they break down into two categories, serving gifts and speaking gifts. So some of us serve the body of Christ. We play our position and do the best that God's designed us to do when we're in some kind of support or serving role. And there's different kinds of serving gifts. The Bible mentioned them. We're going to look at some of them today. And others of us, we've been given spiritual gifts. So we do our best playing our position and contributing to the body of Christ, serving Jesus through some kind of communication, through some kind of speaking. And we talked about the different spiritual gifts that are speaking gifts. And we're going to look at, again, some of those and unpack them today. So we are encouraging all of us to realize we're to be activated servants. This discussion isn't about just our self-actualization and knowing somewhat of our psychodynamics and what the spiritual gifts are that we've been given. No, these gifts define our position. We're to be active servants, activated, every one of us in personal ministry here in the church and in the community, living lives following the example of Jesus being a servant. And so one of the tools that we're encouraging you to help you in that discovery and application is a spiritual gifts test. It's on our website. Go to crosslinechurch.com. On that homepage, it talks about how you can learn about being spiritually gifted. Right there. Just click on it, and it'll direct you to a couple of websites that we recommend to help you in the process of activating your spiritual gift. So today we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue to discover what's our position on God's dream team. Let me pray. Father, thank you that we're here. We're the church. You saved us by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray for anyone who's here as a guest who has not yet crossed the line. May today be the day they say yes to you, Jesus. In that very moment that they invite you into their lives, they become part of your dream team. Speak to us from your word. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. You're the divine teacher who guides us into the truth. Speak through me. May I be the best steward of the gifts you've given me in teaching to explain your word accurately and truthfully. May we have hearts to really hear it and receive it and wills to choose to obey it. May we be equipped from this message to do works of service. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The scripture will also be up on the screen, starting at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works in all things and all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And then drop down to verse 27. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. This is an awesome passage talking about the body and how each of us are members of Christ's body. The Holy Spirit placed us into the body of Christ, and he's given us spiritual gifts. He calls us to ministry. He produces spiritual effects. It's the one and the same Spirit who is at work in all of these things. So just kind of setting the stage. Last week, as we talked about spiritual gifts from 1 Peter 4 and Romans 12, we said that the Scripture talks about being good stewards of the grace of God and serving one another with our gifts. And in both 1 Peter 4 and in Romans 12, the term for gift is the Greek word charismata, and it means a gift of grace. And so that's where we get the term charismatic. Every believer is a charismatic because we've all been gifted by grace. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, the term gift is a different word. It's the Greek word pneumatika. Pneuma is the word spirit. Pneumatika is gift of the Spirit. So the emphasis in this chapter is how the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit is the energizer in the gift expression. And so what 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about is we're a body. Each of us are members of the body. That represents our diversity, but we're also called to a oneness, which is the fact that we're in this one body. And so my first observation, which comes out of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, is the Holy Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ, and all believers drink of the same Spirit. So in the midst of this diversity, where we have different gifts on purpose, we have different positions on the team, there's a commonality, and that is we all belong to the team. And the Holy Spirit placed us into the team. So last week we talked about the dream team, the fact that Michael Jordan was picked for shooting and Patrick Ewing was picked to play the post and be the center, and John Stockton was placed to be the guy who brings the ball up the court in dribbling, but they all played basketball. They were all on the team. In the same way, every one of us has an individual spiritual gift that defines our position on the team, but we're all on the same team. And the reason we're on the same team is the Holy Spirit placed us into the team. That's what it means to be baptized by the Spirit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says we were all, that means everybody, and we were all baptized, and it's in what's known as the aorist passive tense in the Greek. In other words, it's a past tense action that is looked at from the standpoint of a snapshot. In the ongoing journey of our life, there's a snapshot when the Holy Spirit came into our lives, we were saved, and what he did is he placed us into the body of Christ along with every other believer. So this is a common experience to every believer. Being baptized by the Spirit is being placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit. And it says we were all made to drink of the same Spirit. And that is also in what's known in the grammar as the aorist passive tense. So we all at that moment of salvation, receiving the Holy Spirit, this is tantamount to everything the Holy Spirit does at salvation. When you look at the work of the Holy Spirit in terms of a theological analysis, it can easily divide up in terms of the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation and then the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the experience of being a Christian. And again, if you'd like more study on this, you can go online, crosslinechurch.com. Under that teaching, or under that icon where it says spiritual gifting, it also directs you to where all of these teaching lectures I've given, teaching through the doctrine of spiritual gifts. I've got six lectures on spiritual gifts, and then I have six lectures just on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to study that more in depth, I built that, by the way, for 30 years. I've been on the adjunct faculty of Biola University teaching systematic theology. So I just taught through systematically what the Bible teaches. You want more information on that? Go straight to the website. It's all there for you to be able to study in more in depth. But what we are talking about here is the Holy Spirit placed us into the body of Christ. And that's a once-for-all experience, happened at salvation. And at that salvation experience, he made us to drink of the Holy Spirit. So at salvation, we were born again by the Spirit. We were adopted into God's family by the Spirit. We were sealed with the Spirit. We were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we were baptized by the Holy Spirit. All happened at salvation. Every believer in Jesus Christ has that common experience. We're all on the dream team. That's what it's teaching us. But the passage focus is saying to us, not only are we on the dream team, we've been gifted individually to play our position on the dream team. Here's my second observation. The Holy Spirit gives different gifts, calls to different ministries, and produces different results. That's right out of verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. There's an absolute unity of the Trinity in our spiritual gifting. There's the same Spirit, same Lord, same God. The Trinity is at work in placing us into the body of Christ, gifting us as a member of the body of Christ, empowering us to serve in our position in the body of Christ. That's how important this is. All of God is involved in empowering us to be activated servants. There's a unity. There's different gifts. There's different ministries. There's different effects. There's diversity. All the different spiritual gifts that are mentioned, different ministries where those spiritual gifts get applied, and different effects or results that happen in those ministries. So it's the Greek word energema, which means a result of some type of energetic operation. The result of some type of energetic operation. What's the energetic operation? The Holy Spirit working through me as I serve in my gifts. And then the result is the fruit that's produced. The dream team worked together as a team. John Stockton dribbled up the court, passed the ball to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan shot, and what was the result? The ball went through the hoop. The church works together, and then the Holy Spirit produces results. People get saved. People get discipled. Marriages get healed. Prodigals come home. Sick people get made well. Demons get cast out. People are served. Houses get built in Mexico for families. See, the dream team works, and then the Holy Spirit produces results. There are different gifts, different ministries, and different effects. And what's powerful about this is I think about this as three rotating slots, and then when they all line up, the ball drops down through each of them. So there's this rotating slot of different gifts. Then there's rotating slots of different ministries. And then there's rotating slots of different results. In other words, God can use each of us in all kinds of different ways. We may have a different gift, a different ministry, and a different result. We may have the same gift, but a different ministry and a different result. We may have the same gift, the same ministry, and a different result. And that's okay. One of my spiritual gifts is evangelism. But you think I evangelize like Billy Graham? No way, Jose. No. Different fruits produced through my evangelism than Billy Graham's evangelism, let me tell you that. But do I get all upset because I'm not seeing the kind of results that Billy Graham saw? No, because Billy Graham didn't see those results because he was Billy Graham. He saw those results because the Holy Spirit produced them. The Holy Spirit is the one who works, so we have no room to compare ourselves with one another. The only comparison ought to be looking in the mirror, and am I living as a good steward of what God has given to me? This is what's so powerful about being on a team. Teammates work together. They don't work against each other. They work with each other. So the whole team wins. The Holy Spirit gives different gifts, calls to different ministries, produces different results. Here's a third observation. The Holy Spirit manifests himself in speaking gifts to believers. See, verse 7 says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. If you were taking notes last week, you heard me talk about Romans chapter 12, and it's a list of gifts. And I said, I think the context behind this list is what motivates us in ministry, what we want to be able to do, what contribution we want to be able to make. It's a motivational list. This passage tells us very plainly, it's a manifestation list. The different gifts that are listed in this chapter are the gifts by which we manifest the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit lives in me, but as I serve, I manifest a different facet of the Holy Spirit. And that particular facet is driven by the gifting that the Holy Spirit has given to me. To each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for building other people up. It's being other-centered. So in this list in 1 Corinthians 12, some of these gifts are speaking gifts and some of these gifts are serving gifts, just like what we saw in 1 Peter 4 last week. So let me tell you from this list, what are the speaking gifts so that you can be, even as I'm teaching, saying, Holy Spirit, how are you manifesting yourself in me to other people? How have you gifted me to be an activated servant in the body of Christ? Well, here's what the speaking gifts are. First of all, word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. It's not the gift of knowledge. It's the gift of word of knowledge. So it's a speaking gift, speaking knowledge. The speaking gift of knowledge is the divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation and or the disciplined study of scripture and theology. This is often accompanied by a word from God. So people with the gift of the word of knowledge speak God's knowledge to others. And sometimes that knowledge is the result of their disciplined study of scripture and theology. And sometimes that knowledge is just the Holy Spirit gives them a word to communicate. What I'm going to do, by the way, is I'm going to walk through each of these gifts and then afterwards talk about how do we, if we're gifted in these areas, how do we use them? How do we apply them? How can we actually be activated servants? So I'm just going to go through each of them first. So the word of knowledge is this speaking gift of communicating knowledge to others. Spiritual, biblical knowledge. There's another speaking gift, the word of wisdom. This is the speaking gift that's the divine strength or ability to understand and bring clarity to situations and circumstances, often through applying the truths of Scripture in a practical way. So there's a whole book in the Bible of wisdom. It's called the Book of Proverbs. And if you read the Book of Proverbs, it's these wise sayings of just how God designed life and most of the time, what just works from a godly perspective. The spiritual gift of the word of wisdom is speaking wise, practical truths to people. Those truths are scripturally based. They're like, just this is the way God works and the way God wants you to work in this situation. And it's very practical oriented, and it's a speaking gift. And the communication isn't human wisdom, it's God's wisdom based on God's word to life situations. There's the spiritual gift of prophecy. We looked at that last week. The gift of prophecy is the divine strength or ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people to repentance and obedience to God. This gift can be expressed in bold proclamation of revealed truth and through supernatural revelation of things that God makes known to the person speaking. Two more spiritual gifts mentioned in this list are tongues and the interpretation of tongues. The gift of tongues is the divine strength or ability to communicate a message from God in an unknown language to the speaker when accompanied by the gift of interpretation. The gift of interpretation is the interpreting and communicating of a message given in tongues. According to 1 Corinthians 14, when no interpreter is present, the speaker is to pray by himself in communion with God. So there's a section, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. 1 Corinthians 12 mentions all the gifts. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the priority of love, even over gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about in your gathering together, how ought these gifts to be expressed in the gathering. And in that chapter, it actually highlights a few of the gifts, and one of them is prophecy, one of them is speaking in tongues, and one is the interpretation of tongues. So it gives us some direction, even more than some of the other gifts, as to how the gifts ought to function and where they ought to function. So in the gathering together, it says, if someone has a tongue, it ought to be spoken, and then there ought to be an interpreter to be able to communicate to the body what's the message that God's actually given. If someone has a gifting in tongues, but there's no interpreter to communicate that message, the person with the gift of tongues needs to just pray that silent into themselves and to their own communion and worship with God. That's all it's saying. Because when you gather together, what you need is a clear word from God, and if a tongue is spoken and then there's not an interpretation, people don't know what was said, therefore it doesn't build up the body because the spiritual gifts are given for the building up of the body, you see. It does raise the question, and it's an appropriate one just to touch on real briefly. What about the idea of a prayer language where I use the spiritual gift of tongues for my own prayer devotion and my own worship of God? I think that comes under what's said there in 1 Corinthians 14, that if there is no interpreter and God hasn't given you the gift of interpreting what the tongue might be, then that ought to be your prayer between you and God. Scripture interprets Scripture. Another spiritual gift that's mentioned here in this gift list is the gift of teaching. We looked at that last week. The gift of teaching is the divine strength or ability to study and learn from Scripture, primarily to bring understanding and depth and life change to other Christians. So, here in 1 Corinthians 12 are these spiritual gifts that are manifestations of the Spirit for the common good, for building up the body to play your position on the dream team. And these particular gifts that I just mentioned are speaking gifts. So if you are gifted in this way, you bless others in the body of Christ primarily through some kind of communication. And as we said last week, the larger context of body life is far more than what's going on here in this hour and 15 minutes. This is just one expression. It's a large worship service. We also have training discipleship classes, and we have small groups, and we have multitude of sub-ministries that meet, and we have different age-graded ministries, and we have tons of just one-on-one, one-another life experiences. And in all of those, spiritual gifts can be expressed. So if you have any of these speaking gifts where you manifest the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ, there are opportunities on a Sunday that may take place in the large worship service, that may take place in youth ministry, that may take place in children's ministry. that may take place in some type of training class. There's opportunities throughout the week where we have different discipleship classes. Get in and get healthy. We've got men's ministries. We've got women's ministries. We're starting in a couple of weeks Crossline College up again, and we're going to be offering different discipleship classes. We have sub-ministries that focus on a particular area and that have large kind of mid-sized gatherings. In all of those, there's opportunities for these speaking gifts to be expressed. And then we have community groups. And it's in the community group, I just want to put this plug in there, in a small group, that's where you best get to use your spiritual gifts. In small group. You know, when people get together, whether they're single or married or mixed single and married, whether they're youth for Christ or old folks for Jesus, you get together. That's one of the things that's awesome. We're a multi-generational church, you know. We got kids, we got young adults, we got, you know, people in their parenting age, we got grandparents, we got, you know, people that are looking at heaven and saying, any day now, Jesus. That's just who we are. And that's awesome. Yeah. And when we gather in community with one another, whether it's on campus or in a home, that's where everybody gets to play a part and demonstrate their giftedness and manifest the Holy Spirit to one another. And then there's just one-on-one. You can get together with a cup of coffee with another believer anytime you want and manifest the Holy Spirit through your giftedness in speaking with that person. Amen. Go! There's a backstory. When I first became a pastor, I pastored a church that was going through some dysfunctional issues, and sometimes the staff and I would joke, we just want some people to fulfill the first part of the Great Commission. Go. Go and make disciples. Go and express your giftedness. And if you feel like, I got this gifting, this speaking gifting, and I just can't find a place, come talk to Jason, talk to Pastor Greg, come to me and say, let's talk about how you can develop a ministry and go do it. If you think about it, every ministry that exists at Crossline Church right now was added by somebody who had a vision. When we first started, we had a worship service at Capel High School, and we had men's ministry and women's ministry, and that was it. And somebody came and said, I think we should do this. Hallelujah, God's calling you to go do that. Go do it. Someone else said, I think we ought to do this. Hallelujah, God's calling you to go do that. Let's go do it. And here we are with all these ministries that we have going on at Crossline. It's because somebody felt a calling from God that they wanted to use their gifts in a certain way, and they were empowered to go do it. So if you have a speaking gift, play your position on the team and manifest the Spirit to the body of Christ for the common good. Here's a fourth observation. The Holy Spirit manifests himself in serving gifts to believers. So some of us are gifted in a way that we support, we serve, we come alongside, we lead, we direct, we guide. Because it says in verse 7, each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So these are the serving gifts that are mentioned in this list. These are the gifts that manifest the Holy Spirit through some serving ministry. First of all, apostleship. Now, there's big A apostle and there's little A apostle. Big A apostles were the ones Jesus picked who witnessed the resurrection, and then the apostle Paul got added in, and some other dude there in Acts 1, I can't remember his name, and he's going to rebuke me when I get to heaven. So that's big A apostle. There's no more big A apostles. But the gift of apostleship is a spiritual gift that God gives. And the spiritual gift of apostleship is the divine strength or ability to pioneer new ministries in helping to fulfill the Great Commission. So people with the gift of apostleship, they have a vision to start things for gospel outreach. They want to initiate new ministries to make new disciples. They want to, you know, they're like Captain Kirk. They want to go where no man has gone before. They are people who want to start in the power of the Spirit ministries that make disciples. So people with this kind of gifting are entrepreneurial. They have a startup mentality. A lot of times missionaries are gifted as apostleship, or church planters are gifted in this way, or people who start new ministries in the church. That it has a leadership, vision, outreach orientation to it. Here's another serving gift that is mentioned in this list that manifests the Holy Spirit. The discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. It's not the gift of discernment. A lot of people who are strong and mature and biblically oriented have good discernment. This is the gift of discerning spirits. So people with the gift of discerning spirits have the divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood, to distinguish between right and wrong motives, and to delineate the work of the spirit from the demonic. So people with this gifting are great as counselors. They're really effective in discipleship, one-on-one discipleship. They're good at consulting ministries when something wanky is going on. You know, sometimes something is happening in a church life or in a ministry or in a person's life, and you're just not really sure, and someone with the gift of discerning of spirit says, well, that's demonic. That's what's happening. You're coming under spiritual attack, and that's demonic. In fact, that teaching is demonic. Has a little bit of truth, but it is. That's straight from the pit. And other people would never even know that. But people with the gift of discerning or distinguishing of spirits are able to identify that. A lot of times, people who have this gifting are really effective in prayer ministry, and especially prayer ministry that has a freedom component or deliverance component. Discerning of spirits. Here's another gift that is a support gift in this gift list that manifests the Spirit. It's the gift of faith. Well, isn't every believer to live by faith? Yes. Does faith please God? Yes. Are we saved by faith? Yes. But some people are spiritually gifted in faith. They have a spirit-endowed capacity of faith that the rest of us don't have. The gift of faith is the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every arena of life. I had the privilege for 11 years working with the ministry Campus Crusade for Christ, and the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright, was a man with the gift of faith. He had a faith vision of reaching the entire world for Christ, and he really believed it was going to happen, and he was able to mobilize other people to join him in pursuing it. And Campus Crusade for Christ is the largest missions organization in the world with the most staff in the most countries, and it is the ministry that produced the Jesus film, which is reaching the most people for Christ. Largely because Bill Bright had faith, but it was God-endowed faith, you see. People with the gift of faith are tremendous prayer warriors. We need people with the gift of faith in our prayer ministry. Personal encouragement, because when we think we can't do it, people with the gift of faith come alongside, and yes, I see God doing it through you. People with the gift of faith are great in kind of being a part of planning ministry for the kingdom, because they believe God for what can happen, not all the reasons it won't happen. Another spiritual gift mentioned here that manifests the Holy Spirit for the common good, that is a serving gift, is a gift of healing. The gift of healing is the divine strength and ability to act as an intermediary in faith and prayer and by the laying on of hands for the healing of physical, mental, and spiritual sickness. So God is the healer. God is the healer. We're told in James 5, and we have developed that teaching and practiced it here at Crossline, that there is a role of elders in praying and anointing people with oil and praying for healing. And in addition to that, some people have the spiritual gift of healing. Their manifestation of the Spirit to the body of Christ is to be a person of faith and prayer for people's healing. And so people who have this spiritual gift are in counseling, because people need emotional and physical and spiritual healing. In prayer ministry, praying for God to do the miraculous. In just one-on-one encouragement, coming alongside another brother, sister who's in some type of struggle and praying for God to heal them. Another spiritual gift that is a support-serving gift that manifests the Holy Spirit from this gift list is the gift of helps. The gift of helps is the divine strength or ability to work in a supportive role for the accomplishments of tasks in Christian ministry, with the ability to often see the need before others do. Sometimes people with the gift of helps, they see stuff before everybody else. It's very similar, if not the same, as the gift of service. It is this utility gift, and blessed is the church that has many, many people with this particular gift design. So these are people who see a need and want to meet it. These are people who say, where do you need? I'm available to serve and help wherever it is. You need someone to change diapers? I can do that. You need someone to hand out food with our food pantry to our customers? I can do that. You need someone to come in the office and stuff bulletins? I can do that. You need someone to set up chairs for a Get Healthy class? I can do that. It's someone who just wants to help. And they have this supernatural ability to manifest the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. One more spiritual gift mentioned in this gift list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that are gifts that manifest the Holy Spirit for the common good is the gift of miracles. Well, should we all pray for miracles? Yeah, of course we should. Does God do miracles? Yes, he does. And God is the producer of miracles. But some people have a gifting in the miraculous by God's design. And it's how they manifest the Holy Spirit to the body of Christ. People with the gift of miracles, it's the divine strength or ability to alter the natural outcomes of life in a supernatural way through prayer, faith, and divine direction. And people who have this gifting are awesome in prayer ministry, in evangelistic outreach, because if you look through the book of Acts, one of the primary ways that God led lost people to Christ is doing some kind of miracle. And then that occasioned them to be listening to the gospel. So we need people with this gifting as missionaries. We need people with this gifting in our evangelistic outreaches as a church. Also, this is a gifting that is it comes alongside and helps the planning of ministry at every level, from elders to ministry directors to people who initiate ministries. Because again, people with this gifting are not saying, we're going to have a great plan and we're going to execute the plan and then we're going to see these results because we had a great plan and we executed the plan. No, people with this gifting are saying, God's going to do miracles here. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians 12. The Holy Spirit gives pneumatica, spiritual gifts. He's the giver and he's the producer of the results through the gifts that are given. Some of those gifts are in speaking and some of those gifts are in serving, but all of the gifts manifest the Holy Spirit to build up the dream team, the body of Christ. Here's a fifth observation from 1 Corinthians 12. There's a functional order to the gifts within the church. You say, what do you mean, JP? Well, when you look at the last part of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, now you're the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Why would he say it like that? Why first, second, third, then? It's because in the gathering of the church and in the organization of the church, every gift is equally important, but some gifts functionally are necessary for the organization and the carrying out of ministry, functionally. They're not any more important than any other gift, but if we all gathered here and nobody got up to teach, we'd just be sitting around looking at each other. So the church has a functional organization. Jesus is the head of the church, but under his headship, there are functional, gifted leaders, no more important than anybody else, but they carry out their gifting according to a function God has given. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, those include apostles, prophets, and teachers. So there is, the church is a body, but it is also a spirit dynamic organization. And it says in this passage that no spiritual gift is given to everyone. So it lists, there's a bunch of hypothetical questions, rhetorical questions that all assume the negative response. Are all teachers? No. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret tongues? No. Do all have gift of healings? No. Yada, yada, yada. In other words, there is no spiritual gift in the listing of gifts that God has designed that everybody ought to have. Because we're a body with different parts, and we're members of the body. The dream team had guards, forwards, and centers. They had positions that they played. We have positions that we play, and nobody's supposed to play the same position. So there's no spiritual gift that's been given by God that we ought to say, you need to have this gift. No, you need to have the gift God's given you. And you need to use the gift that God has given to you. But then it says, desire the greater gifts. Well, what are the greater gifts? In the passage, in the context, not greater because they're on from God's viewpoint, these gifts are more important than these gifts, but greater in the context of the organization of the church. Every church ought to pray for and seek that God provides for that church apostles, prophets, and teachers, people who can communicate, lead the body, and communicate to the body so that everybody gets equipped. But he says, I'm going to show you even a greater way. And that leads into 1 Corinthians 13. So more important than spiritual gifts is love. Loving one another, loving God and loving one another is more important than discovering and using your spiritual gifts. Because if you love God and love one another, eventually you would discover and use your spiritual gifts. Because that's how you serve people. And loving people is serving people. So if you're really loving people, at some point the Holy Spirit's going to show you how you can best love people. So keep the main thing the main thing. I'm wearing myself out preaching here today. I don't know if I can do the second service. I'm telling you that. I got one last point. There are equipping gifts that mobilize believers to service and build up the body of Christ. Equipping gifts. This is Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I wish I had time to unpack this, but you can go online and see all the teaching that I did on spiritual gifts. Just click right there where it's up there online on spiritual gifting, and it'll take you to the gifts tests, evaluations, and also to the media part where all the teaching's on this. Because in here in 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about how the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts. But here in Ephesians 4, it's he, and the he in the context is Jesus as the head of the church. Well, is it teaching, well, Jesus did this and the Holy Spirit did that? No, because God is one. So anytime Jesus works, the Holy Spirit works, the Father works. Anytime the Father works, Jesus works, the Holy Spirit works. Anytime the Holy Spirit works, Jesus works, and the Father works. God is one. One God, three persons. But when a passage emphasizes one of the persons of the Trinity, as a good Bible student, you ought to go, that's an observation I need to make. So as the head of the church, Jesus has given to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Another observation about this is he doesn't mention them as gifts, but as people. It doesn't say, and he gave people, it doesn't, and he gave the gift of apostleship, the gift of, you know, evangelist, the gift of prophecy, the gift of pastoring, the gift of teaching. No, he gave people who are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I don't know what that means, but I thought I'd point it out to you. So there's two gifts. There's two gifts here that we haven't talked about last week and this week. Two more gifts that are mentioned here that we haven't talked about. They are the gift of evangelism and the gift of pastoring. These gifts, it says, the next verse, if you're not sure what a verse means, read the next verse and you'll probably figure it out. And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for that giving you a conclusion or a purpose. It's a purpose clause that gives you an explanation. And, you know, this is where just, you know, as I just said that, I can remember, I could see my Greek professor going, gar is an explanatory term. It's the Greek word for is the word gar. It's an explanatory term. It's given us for, so he's explaining what the first verse said. He gave these gifts for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. What I'm doing right now is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Not just teach you stuff. Equip you to do the work of the ministry. To be an activated servant on the dream team. Because one of my spiritual gifts is teaching. And it's mentioned as one of the equipping gifts. So these gifts, using the dream team illustration, these gifts play their position and coach the other people on the team to play their position too. They're player coaches. So it's like Michael Jordan playing, but also coaching the guys he's playing with how to play the game. So player coaches express their giftedness primarily by helping other people express their giftedness. So some of us are gifted as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what we do best and what God designed us to do is to equip everybody else to do what they're supposed to be doing. The gift of evangelism is the gift of the divine strength or ability to preach the gospel and to take the necessary steps to become a born-again Christian, show people how to be saved. And it functions preaching to crowds or just one-on-one conversations. So some people have the gift of evangelism that have never spoken to a crowd in their life, but they tell everybody they know about Jesus. And other people have the gift of evangelism and they're tremendous. The bigger the crowd, the better in explaining the truths of how to be saved in Christ. It's a gift of evangelism. Shouldn't everybody be sharing their faith? Yeah, but some people have a supernatural gifting in it. And then the gift of pastoring or shepherding. It's the Greek word poema, which literally means shepherd. Virtually every time it's used in the Bible is to talk about a shepherd, someone who actually shepherds sheep, but someone who shepherds people is a pastor. Now, we have a title, pastor, in most of our churches. But you can have the title pastor but not have the gift of shepherding. That's okay. You could be in a church and have no title and be the best pastor in the church. Because it's your spiritual gifting. People with the gift of pastoring or shepherding have the divine strength or ability to care for the personal needs of others by nurturing and mending life issues. So, if you got the gift of evangelism, you could do crusade preaching, you could share the gospel to the unchurched on the street, you could go on a mission trip, you could share the gospel in a small group, you could talk to someone one-on-one over a cup of coffee, you could be excited about using apologetics, or you could just share your personal testimony. But you're motivated to talk about Jesus to people and equip other people to talk about Jesus with people. And if you have the gift of pastoring or shepherding, you could be the pastor of a local church. You could pastor a group of people. You could pastor a small group. You could pastor a class. You could pastor a family. You could pastor a person. These spiritual gifts in this list equip other people to do the work of the ministry. So we've looked last week and this week at the four passages on spiritual gifts. Let me just encourage you to ask God, what is my spiritual gift and how I can use it? And if you're not clear, go on our website, take the spiritual gifts test, and as well, and we'll be putting this up on the website soon, but I just wanted to let you know. Here's another reference, we can put that website up there, which is a place that matches, it goes through every spiritual gift and then gives 5 or 6 places in the church where you could use that gift. So if you're thinking, I'm pretty excited, I feel like God's showing me what the gift is, now I'm just not really sure where I'm supposed to use it or how I'm supposed to use it. There are actual places in the church, and I don't see it up there, but it will be on our website. So go to our website, and you can discover how to match your gifting with actual ministry. In other words, no person on God's dream team should merely be a pew setter, a seat setter, someone who's in the crowd watching, but not in the game playing. We've all been called to get in the game. So let's ask the Holy Spirit how to do it. Let me pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you for this message, this series about being on the dream team. And thank you for the teaching of your word. May your word equip us. May your word call us to action. Because the word of God is living and sharper than a two-edged sword. And all scriptures inspired and profitable for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training and equipping. So may every one of us be equipped saints to do the work of the ministry. And I pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't yet know you, you call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Say, I want to be on the dream team. I want to be an activated servant. I want to be saved. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me and be the Lord of my life. God, thank you that you have a plan for history, a plan for this church, and a plan for each of us as members. We want to step into your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.